Hey everybody, welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths, and this is my co-host, Xavier Jackson.
Going on, what's going on?
Yep. So we have come together, folks, to bridge gaps in generation, to have real talks with real leaders, which you're always going to get with me, and Xavier too, but also to talk about the hows behind how these leaders are creating positive impact in what they're doing on their journeys. So today we have our guest is Jacob Brown. So Jake, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey everybody, it's so good to be here. Shauna, it's always great to join you on any of your podcasts. So I'm excited to talk about today.
Yeah. So folks, before we jump in, I always give you context for how I know guests. Since this is a new version of the podcast, I'll also give you a little bit of a look into Xavier. So Xavier and Jacob don't know each other prior to this conversation. So, so it's a little bit of everybody getting to know each other. So both of them were high performing collegiate athletes. Both of them are leadership athletes, which is the platform that I've developed. They are both entrepreneurs and they have both good friends of mine. Met them both within the last couple of years online, which sounds funny, but not funny. Jake and I met through LinkedIn. Xavier and I met through IG. And so that is a bit of a nod to everyone who's listening to this. Don't sleep on meeting people through social media platforms. Great connections can happen. And Jake's, as Jake mentioned, he's been on my show before. Xavier has been on the show before. So that is my sort of introduction to you guys.
No, that was good. That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Jake, give us kind of a foundation, in what you're doing now.
Yeah. What am I not doing?
Right, I was going to say, what are you not doing? That's another thing you two have in common.
Yeah. So I do quite a bit. I'm a co-founder and co-owner of Varlo. Varlo is a cycling and triathlon apparel brand launched in January of 2020, essentially November of 2019. But officially in January of 2020, we launched. We're one of the fastest growing cycling and triathlon apparel brands in the world. We just partnered with REI. I lead as one of the owners of the marketing, the digital, the email, the website, the e-commerce stuff. I lead all of that stuff as a co-owner. I am not a triathlete, but I am going to do my first triathlon this year. I'm excited about. But outside of Varlo, I'm also a keynote speaker. So I travel and speak on a concept called failing forward. So failing forward to me came back in 2006, right before I went to the NFL. I know that John Maxwell wrote a book called Failing Forward back in 2000. I'm going to be releasing my first book called A Fail Forward Mindset, hopefully at the end of next month, beginning of April. So I'm excited about that. So I travel and speak about that concept, but I'm also an executive coach. So I coach several individuals. Essentially, I'm just trying to empower, encourage, motivate people to go after their goals, whether it's starting a business, whether it's going after a promotion, whether it's leaving a job to become an entrepreneur. I have done it all. So I coach a lot of other individuals on the pathway to do that and hopefully do it successfully. So outside of that, I'm a husband of one and a father of four. That's part of my intros. Everyone loves that. But I'm a husband of one. My wife and I are going to be celebrating 9 years this year. I've got four kids, 15, 7, and 4. And we have a baby, and we have a dog that's 10 years old. She's a pit lab. So that's who I am.
Oh, so great. Thank you so much for you know, running us through all of that. And, you know, there's a lot in between your time at the NFL and where you are today. And that's where we're getting into a lot of the hows. So Xavier, you want to jump into that and start to ask Jake some questions?
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. Yeah, when I was listening to you giving us that intro, you know, I guess the thing that struck my curiosity at first was just really, like, I want to know kind of like that. Like, when was the moment when you knew that you couldn't, like, play no more? And what level or what phase was that at in that moment? And then essentially, like, how did you get from, like, that moment to intro and into, like, you know, your first business venture and things of that nature is kind of like what I'm more so curious about.
Yeah. So after I left college, I went to the Oakland Raiders for a short period of time. I didn't realize that my time there was going to be so short. A lot happened during the draft. A lot happened with my agent going into the NFL. And I'm not going to get too much into that. But ultimately, I was cut during camp. And I came home, got a new agent. And a year later, I got to work out with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in between that, I actually went and worked out for a few arena football teams. I actually moved down to Little Rock, Arkansas to go play for a Little Rock, Arkansas arena football team. 3 weeks after that, I came home like, this is not for me, man. I need a bigger field, right? And I worked out for the Steelers. And this was the same day that Bill Cowher, my favorite NFL coach, was retiring. Okay, this was January of 2007. And I was crushed because I didn't know he was retiring. And as we know, Mike Tomlin now is the new head coach for the Steelers ever since then. And me and Mike used to have the same agent. And, you know, after he was hired, things just didn't work out. And after about a year and a half, I realized that at this point, I had my first son who just turned 17 last month. He was about a month and a half old, and I realized I can either keep chasing this dream or I can provide for my family and use everything that I learned in my time in college and high school and even my short period of time in the NFL, use that into my corporate America business building career. That was my decision, right? And it was hard. And I was 23 years old. I was still in great shape. And I had to decide to not play the thing that I played for 15 years. And it sucked. Like, and it took me a while to get over it. But once I got out of the place that football was my identity, I was able to move on.
That's dope.
Yeah, I love that. Xavier and I talked about that. And I think, Jake, you and I talked about it as well on the show when you came on, is that sense of identity gets... You know, it gets crushed. It gets turned on its head. And you know, people who are in the audience, this is something that happens with athletes, as we all experience. But it's also something that happens in your career.
Yes.
And, you know, I tell the story. I remember when I was working in the MBA for like 13 years in marketing, and I decided I was going to move on from it. I went to another place to work in marketing, and I would go to introduce myself, and I'd say, I'm Shauna Sikorsky, and I work for the, and I was like, because I got so used to saying I work for the Nets. That became my identity. And I literally had an identity crisis.
Yep.
I was like in my early 30s at the time. And, you know, again, I think we can identify with that, whether you're an athlete, whether you're whatever stage you are in your career, when you make that change. But I think it happens when we also have to look at our priorities and start to notice what are we actually identifying with ourselves, and is that what's actually fitting?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to touch on that, you know, I did a keynote at the University of Notre Dame, and there was a player there. I cannot remember his name, but he had lost a lot of weight. He was a safety at the time, and he was there with his girlfriend, and he had to retire early from football. And I think he was only in his third year at University of Notre Dame, and he had to retire because of health reasons. And he stood up and asked me a question during Q&A. He says, "Jake, how do you find your identity after football?" And he said, "I just had to retire. I can no longer play football because of health reasons, and I'm trying to figure out what my identity is." And it's exactly what you said, Shauna. You know, you identify as one thing for so long that you begin to believe that that's all you are.
Yeah.
Right. And if you guys follow me on LinkedIn, if you follow me on Instagram, wherever you follow me, my title is not transformational speaker, CEO, co-founder. My title is human being.
Yeah.
Right. Jacob Brown, the human being, because I can never lose that title. Right. When I step on stages, I always tell a joke like, you know, I'm a former NFL athlete and no one asked me for my autograph. And the reason is because I'm a former athlete, right? And if I was active, if I was playing, if I was on the Detroit Lions, I would probably have a line of people lining up to get my autograph. But because I don't have that title anymore, I'm no longer being treated with the same, you know, rapport and treated with the same gifts and treatment that I did once I held the title. So I removed myself of all titles because I don't want to lose my identity and myself when I lose those positions.
So you basically like you don't have no identity in your mind, essentially. Like you just letting people know to like view me as a person. Like, yeah, that's what you leading with, basically, is just me being a person. Because you felt like, all right, you know what? Did you do that because you don't want to be stripped of anything ever again? Or did you do that because through that moment you just realized that's something that you would have lived your life by, even if you still was playing, a realization that you wish you would have had?
So I can't say that. If I had made it in the NFL and played 15 years, won a couple Super Bowls, went to the Pro Bowl, I'd probably be like, you know, I'm Jake Brown, the Pro Bowler, you know, Super Bowl. Yeah, I'd probably be like Deion, right? But I firmly believe that, you know, God allows us to go through things and lose certain things so that we can find ourselves. And I feel like a lot of times we go about life touting who we are based on things that we've done instead of who we are inside. Yeah. Right. And when I say I'm Jacob Brown, the human being, like I do a lot of things. Right. I motivate. I encourage. I'm a marketer. I'm a designer. You know, I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. Right. But at the end of the day, when I lay my head on the pillow, I'm a human being.
Simple.
Right. I keep it simple.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And part of that is a mindset. You know, and you talked about that you teach the fail forward mindset. And what I talk about in the Leadership Athlete platform is that is a mindset. And there's a similarity there. It's that part of what you're doing every day is having a commitment to be better than every yesterday. And I really believe that that's rooted. I mean, again, it's not that you only know it if you've been an athlete, but I think that we can look at athletes or those who have been athletes, and it's a part of what you're literally training for. Yeah. So I really see that parallel in what we're doing every day that's not on the playing field.
When you think about some of the most motivating human beings, right? If you think about anyone that if you go to an event and you're like, I want these types of people to come speak to me, right? They are usually from two different backgrounds. One background is a sports athletic background, and the other one is a military background, right? Yeah. And the reason is because those two backgrounds have a sense of discipline, and they start from ground zero, and they have to slowly work their way up to a point where everything becomes second nature. It's muscle memory, right? Yeah. You walk past somebody that's in the military, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to put that arm up. And sometimes they don't even mean to do it. They just do it, right?
Right.
So it's because you're growing that discipline and that muscle memory in people that have not experienced that. And even as athletes, like I would love to, I don't know if I'd love to, but I would love to have what Marines and Navy SEALs have inside of them, right? Because I understand that type of mental toughness and discipline is something you can only get if you've gone through the things that they have.
Yeah.
Right. And when these types of people go speak at corporations, these people aren't going to be doing push-ups and running through the mud and right when they're at work. But to have a sense of discipline every day to get better, like you said, Shauna, get 1% better every single day. That's 366 on a leap year percent that you're better every year.
Yeah.
But what was the, like Francis, what was like the first thing that you came to after playing? Like, what was the first opportunity? Like, you know, like, are you done playing? But then, like, what was your, like, first opportunity that you was, like, brought into it? I remember, like, with me personally, when I got done, so, like, that decision that you made after you got done playing professional was the decision I made after college, where I was just like, man, because every person in college, I noticed something. If they didn't make it to the league and they went overseas, I noticed that that 2 to 3 years they had come back always, like, telling stories about, like, how much money it was getting, which was nothing. Or how or the living arrangements that they was in, or, you know, just like sometimes they was not getting paid, but it was just like another sacrifice that essentially you would have to have went through. And at that time with me, I was not like, that was not like my only thing that at that time I seen myself being able to pursue. And the other opportunities I had, I just felt like if I did that more, I would be way more richer than to go across the country and maybe or may not get paid, you know what I'm saying, for my services and being in the land that I do not know. So for me, it was like coming back and then basically just thinking about like what I was doing in college and how I made the good relationships with the donors. And I remember that program that we had in school where we basically got to shadow each donor and in their business. And at the time, when I was in there thinking about certain donors, I was like, boy, if I wasn't hooping right now, I'd easily run up a million doing this right here. I just can't, I'm just hooping right now, so I can't do it, you know? Like, it was things that I was like, man, you better be happy I'm going to the league, because if I wasn't going to the league, I'd be, you know, doing this. But at that time, you know, I didn't take it that serious. It was just things that I knew that, like, this is a cheat code. Like, I got to thinking, like, boy, y'all came in here, got a job. Y'all got to work all y'all way up to just be here shadowing the boss every day. And here I am, like, in their office with my feet on their desk, just, like, you know, enjoying life. Yeah. So for me, I was like, I had to figure out, how do I get back to that without the basketball? Because that was the difficult part, you know? And I didn't have that quite figured out, but I knew where the money was at in certain areas. And I was like, well, me being what you was referencing, like a human, I knew that, like, environments creates communication, meaning that, like, it don't matter whatever environment you're in, you're going to, like, be a human and talk to people. So my goal is just to put myself in, like, the best environment. So if I do come across somebody, at least I'll have a higher chance of them being successful. So then I'll go to, like, the Avalon, like, which is a place in Georgia where it's, like, real nice. It's like Beverly Hills but in Georgia, though. And then I'll be out there just chilling, you know, going out there getting, like, little ice creams and stuff like that, kicking it. And then one day I seen it was this dude who was, like, in his, like, Lambo. And he pulled up to the place to, like, park the car. And the valet came out, and he had, gave this dude a couple of hundreds, and they got to talking. I said, boom, that's my way in. So I went and basically did the valet. And then basically after doing valet, 3 months in it and meeting somebody, I had my own auto detailing business, and then, like, it went on from there. So for me, that's kind of, like, how my, like, you know, transition went into it. But, like, kind of, like, what was your first opportunity, if that makes sense?
Hey, can I jump on that? Can I jump on that real quick?
Before I do, go.
Hey, listen. So, and everything that you just said, you were taught in sports, and you didn't even realize it, right? My college coach and high school coach and every coach I've ever heard, they always said, you have to be in position to make the play, right? You got to be in position to make the play. You can't make a play if you're not in the right position. And even when you're in position, your feet, your hands, your arms, you got to be ready, right? You got to be in position. So what you saw people that are in position in order to be able to make the plays. So you saw somebody in valet. You saw that you needed to go to this Beverly Hills of Georgia area, right? To be able to get around people that are already in position that might be able to help you get you the assist to make the play, right? And exactly. I love the fact that you had enough foresight and humility to say, in order for me to get around people that I know I can learn from, mm-hmm. right? You can learn from them. Because my coach used to always say, you want to make sure that you're learning as much as possible from those who have already done it, mm-hmm. right? And when I was a youngster coming into college, I was always, you know, I'm competing against those seniors, right? I'm a freshman, I'm a true freshman, but I'm competing against those seniors. And those seniors have been there, they've seen things, they're 4 to 5 years older than me. Some of them got kids, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But how can I befriend them? And I'm still friends with these guys today. How can I befriend them to a point where I let them know I am here to learn from you because mm-hmm. I respect you and I know that you know how to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing I learned as an athlete coming out of college, coming out of the NFL and going into corporate America is I knew how to make my way into the rooms that were making the decisions, mm-hmm. right? And I knew how to make my way to those people. And I used whatever I had to use. Like I would talk about old football stories. I used to have a championship ring, right? 6 foot. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds, man. I'm not a small guy, right? But yeah. I always made sure that I kept myself nice and manicured and clean cut and nice, nicely clothed. So I had some point of reference to be able to talk to people that are in positions that I wanted to be in, right? So I had to get myself in position before I could be in the position to make the decisions.
Yeah,
right? Exactly.
You did the exact same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing that neither one of you guys really talked much about, but I'm going to jump on.
Come on.
Is the mindset, right? Because the mindset, because neither one of you guys nor I sat back and were like, oh man, I really want to be there. I don't know how to get there. It's like Nobody told you this is how you do it. You go figure it out. It's the same thing. Again, we both come back to, you know, all of us have come back to sports and everything. Like, you enter that gym or you enter, of course, I'm always going to talk basketball. Like, yeah. You're so part of me on that, the football side. But it's like, nobody's telling you what to do, how to do it. The ball rolls out and you got to go. You got to, you know, be scrappy, do what's needed, be in place, all of that. So, you know, when I look back and people ask me, well, how did you get from playing ball at U of M and running at Eastern and doing those things to working at Nike and the WNBA? I'm like, I literally like went and knocked on doors at the NBA offices to find someone. And I'm not even exaggerating on that, you know? And it's like, you, that's that element, that drive that you have to go make it happen. You're not looking at excuses. It's the thing that you get up every day, you do your workout. Again, you do your training. I'm using quotes because it's like, you know, yes, you do that in sport, but then you do it in, you know, in work. And Xavier, I remember one of the first times I met you, I tell people this story. I said, how are you? And he said, his answer to me was abundant. And I was like, okay, this guy is special. And his handle on IG is XO Abundance. And like, that is a mindset. That is, I didn't have that word. People weren't really talking about mindset and all of that when I was coming up, but this is something that gets you to that valet and meeting those people, Jacob, to you, like all the challenges that you've been through that I want you to touch on what you want to on this, you know, as we're talking here, but it's not, it's a rough road. You know, that's the thing of, you got to go in and get your shot blocked every day, you know, tackled, whatever. That stuff still happens when you're out there making it, you know, in your life and in your work.
I love the fact that you mentioned abundance. So I wrote an article not too long ago about the difference between an abundant mindset and a scarcity mindset, right? And most people are walking around with a scarcity mindset. They really are. They are fearful, number one. They believe that anyone else's success means less success for them, right? And we have, I mean, this world is really big, guys. Like this world and opportunities are vast. Like they are never ending, right?
Yeah.
And to have an abundant mindset, it basically means, I mean, for me, it means that you know that no matter what, there is going to be enough for everyone to go around. And as long as you focus on your lane and what you're trying to go after, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. And when they do get theirs, get happy, because that means there's enough for everybody, right? It's an abundant mindset. But and Shauna, back to what you said, you mentioned, you know, you're going to get your shot blocked every now and then, right? And I do think that we are more apt to take risks because we are less afraid of rejection.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
We are less afraid of being told no. We are less afraid of failing because we were athletes. We definitely missed the ball. We dropped the ball. We missed shots. We missed the blocks. We lost games. We know what it feels like to lose. We know what it feels like to get yelled at by a coach for messing up. Like, that don't scare us, right?
Yeah.
So when we go into the real world, it's easy for us because we've already gone through that type of molding throughout our college and high school careers and pro. If we make it, we've already gone through some of that that pressure, right? Because that's all it is pressure.
And I think my phone. Go ahead, bro.
No, go ahead.
I was say, I think when you was talking, like, two things in my mind, because it kind of had a flashback, because I asked myself, I was like, man, when did I even come up with that word, you know? And I was listening to Shauna come up with it, and at that moment it took me back to that day where what I realized was, it was really at my lowest moment where I actually found that word. It was not during like a good time. You know what I'm saying? It was at like I was in college, and I actually found the power of the word later after I actually started just saying it. But when I was in college, I was like it was like I kind of like got to that point where I was like, man, me and my coach is not here. You know, like this is my like junior going to senior year. I'm at VCU, like, he didn't put me in the opportunity for me to produce enough for me to leverage just to go to another school. And if I leave here, I don't have enough value around my name to where I can get another situation. So, I mean, I'm going to have to go down. At that time, I'm like, damn, I didn't work so hard to get up that I can't go back down. So I was just stuck in a situation, and I was like, bro, you know what? I'm going to take on a challenge. But the challenge was not being conquered. You know what I'm saying? For the first time, I just could not conquer this fucking challenge of him and me being eye to eye. Like, at that time, I realized, like, the professionalism of understanding, like, system and roles. And me, I never was a systematic player. You know, like, the system really evolved around me and what I was able to do, you know? So at that time, that transition of understanding that and that didn't hit, which led into a depression, because at that moment, I was like, like, my whole swag was off. Like, you know, going and being on the bench and just, like, it, like the girls that was there, like, coming and taking pictures of me on the bench and sending me, like, I was just, it was just, like, I'm on TV, man. Like, all my family, like, game time on TV. And I'm not, and the only thing they seeing me do is stand up during the huddles and shit. Like, it was just, like, it was all bad. Like, talk about ego and pride, like, all out the window. Like, I did not know what was going on, to be honest with you. So, like, while I'm in that, like, phase and things, like, I was ready to leave. Like, I called my parents and told them, I was like, listen, y'all, I know, like, this college shit, I'm not going, like, I haven't learned nothing yet. You know, I'm just getting by, like, just because off of it, like, me just being smart. Like, I do what I do, but I'm not going to learn nothing and take this into the real world. And I feel like right now I'm wasting my time with these people. So I was ready to, like, I was like, I'm packing my stuff up. But then in that moment, like, of, like, when I hung up the phone, and then, like, they was just, like, all disappointed. Everybody was, like, disappointed. And then I'm sitting around, and I was just getting to thinking and stuff like that. And then I remember, like, I just took, like, a walk. Like, you know, VCU kind of like a little hippie. It's like a little hippie vibe, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, hippie, like, it's like all type of cultures in there. But, like, they got this little hippie, little, like, area, you know, that I was around. And, like, the dude was like, he was like, bro, lighten up, dude. You know, life is abundant. Like, you know, vibe. And that moment, for the first, he made, like, I didn't feel happy in so long and feel, like, good in so long. Because, like, I was getting, like, migraine headaches. Stressing, thinking about this, like, you know what I'm saying, every day. So, like, in that moment was the first time that I actually, like, felt happy. And I was like, damn, I was like, he said that word, and at that moment, I was like, bro, you right, bro. Like, what the hell? Y'all out here being hippies and shit, and living, and I'm out here, like, it was like he made me think about all of the things that I actually did have. But, like, damn, I am at school for free. I do got, like, whatever I want to go. I do can, like, while I'm here for the rest of the time being, I can start thinking and start learning, like, other situations. And then at that moment, I realized, like, damn, it was unlimited possibilities. And in this same reality that I'm in, it's not like my situation changed, but I just finally was able to see past the dark cloud. Yes. And then at that moment, like, I didn't know what it meant until probably, like, at the end of my basketball, my coach that I, like, helped me, like, get to where I was at, I stopped training. I stopped hooping because I wasn't doing it. But as soon as I got done playing, come to find out, he called me. He's like, yo, bro, I got an NBA draft camp that they let me run. It's 28 teams here. I wasn't training in the past 2 months because I already had, like, threw that in the back of my mind. And then at that moment, that's when I realized, like, damn, that's where I would never allow, you know, like, my coaches in that situation, and I also had to think about, like, why did I even fail? That was another thing I had to ask myself, like, why did I even fail? Like, what was the reason why I even failed that situation that I was in? Because I'm not going to leave it to just, it was just not my chance, and it was, like, the coach. It was, like, I had to play a part in this, too. And at that moment, what it was I was not able to see past the dark cloud. I let somebody tell me what their vision of me was, and then I tried to confirm it to that. And I told myself I would never allow myself ever to go through that ever again in life, where basically somebody is basically determining what this reality is for me. So I'm going to always just basically think a limitless. So now it's no value that nobody can hold over me. It's nothing that nobody can hold over me. Like, I can go into a situation, bring my energy into it, it go all the way up. And then if me and that person not seeing eye to eye, I'm cool with just leaving it alone, because I know that I'm going to do this like 10 times until I die. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter. And that's what I feel like makes it more powerful now, that mindset translated into the now, is because I'm not binded by nothing, you know? I just know that everything is going to be what it be as long as I'm here producing. So, like, that's kind of like what, you know, when y'all was talking about that, it made me think of what that word was, and then basically, like, how I understood what it meant, and then now how I'm using it, you know what I'm saying, in my life, to where I have more opportunities than I can have for myself. So that's why I'm always giving, you know what I'm saying? Because it's just more than enough for me, you know, like, for me to do it. But in that giving, it always come back more. So then it's like a double effect, And then it's like each day I keep living, I keep learning more, I keep getting more, you know what I'm saying? So that's pretty like my abundance story.
Yeah, and I think it's so important going back to like bridging gaps in generations. What I see a lot is the younger generation coming up is so stressed about like college and the decision they're going to make. And it's like, it's the end of the world decision they're going to make. And you know, it's like, I love the way the mindset that you're talking about, X, that we're all talking about, because it's, you know, taking each thing, making it the best it can be, learning from it, knowing that you're going to evolve, you're going to get to that next step if you're doing those things, if you are present and giving and learning. And, you know, I remember I always thought like, I'm just being a sponge around people, but that's what I did when I was playing. I was like, you'd see people, you'd model what they were doing. And then, you know, you're okay, well, that's going to get me by. But, you know, I guess I'm going to segue a little bit, because Jake, it reminds me of something that you wrote one time and I've heard you talk about it. The thing about the most pressure happens when like the coal is going to break into a diamond or something like that. Sorry, I butchered it, but I think it's important, like, because Xavier, you talked about you were at your lowest in basketball when you had that experience. I have been at my lowest when I stopped playing. I've been, you know, I've been laid off twice in the past few years because of, you know, like just the, you know, economy and marketplace and all that kind of stuff. This thing is hard. And sometimes you feel like it's going to break you. Mm-hmm. And we can all relate to it, but it's like, what is that thing that you can hold on to? It's, you talk about it's abundance. It's that drive. It's that thing that's bigger than you alone that you can actually push through that, you know, that pressure.
I firmly believe that our breaking points, like everybody goes through a breaking point in life. The breaking point is actually the breakthrough point, right? And a funny thing, my daughter brought this little, what do you call those light sticks? Like they're light sticks.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I know what you mean.
Yes, he brought me one and she was like, Dad, it's broken because it was cracked. And I said, no, honey, the more you break it, the more light starts to show. And I started breaking it for her, and you should have saw her face light up. Like her face literally lit up because she realized that the more it was broken, the more light and the more beautiful it was.
Yeah.
And she, and that brought me to a point where I have been through so much in my life, my adult life, going through a divorce, going through a custody battle, living homeless for 3 months, struggling with alcohol. You know, thank God I'm 2.5 years sober now, but there was a point where it was ugly, y'all. It was not okay. Like there were a lot of things that I was abandoning. There were a lot of people I was hurting. I was killing myself. I had lost people to alcoholism, like whether it was their liver failed or whatever it was. And these people were close to me, but even that didn't stop me from my alcoholism. And it was that moment where I felt most broken and devastated. And at my lowest of low, like rock bottom, I was like under the rocks. I'm like trying to hold the rocks up, you know?
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I had my breakthrough. And once I had my breakthrough, August 25th, 2021, I will never forget this day, guys. I will never forget this day because on that day, I made a decision. I made a conscious decision that I would no longer allow all of my excuses, all of my history, all the things that happened to me, you know, my divorce, my custody battle, my father, my losing jobs, my losing business. I would never allow those things to dictate my future.
Yeah.
Because I was allowing all of those things to dictate my future. And all it was doing was destroying my future. Right. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I changed my mindset and I said, I'm done. I am going to focus forward. I'm not going to allow my past to bring shame to me or my family or my friends or my businesses. I am going to be moving forward. And from that day, my life has changed. Mm. Completely. My life has changed. And it's all about a mindset because I was living in a scarcity mindset for 38 years of my life.
Yeah.
But as soon as I turned 38, these last 2.5 years, life has been good because I've been operating just like you did. You said, X, you changed your mind that day and you said, you know what? I do have something to be thankful for. I am in a place where I can have opportunities. I can change my life. I can change my mindset. And guess what happens as soon as that happens? Opportunities start to come.
Tell me.
It's so simple. Like, it's so simple when you say it like that, but it's hard in the moment for people to understand. If you shift your mindset, your life will shift as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk a lot about like it. You get in your own way by doing that, and you don't even realize it. But the more you can bring clarity and not judgment per se, but go, oh, wait a second, catch yourself in the moment. Cause we talk about the how of things. So like, how do we change your mindset? It sounds easy. It's not easy. But again, some of that has to come with like, oh, wait a second, I'm making excuses, or I'm getting in my own way by whatever the things are. When we say living from moving from a place of scarcity, what that can show up like, just kind of cueing some things for the audience here, is like, that can show up as fear.
Yes.
Scarcity shows up as fear. Like, we don't think we deserve something. We don't think we can do it. It's not going to be there for us.
Yeah.
So we sit back, and that's when we can get in our own way. But it's that thing of like, well, how do we shift our perspective? Even if it's like, call it 10 degrees, 12 degrees, you know, just a little bit. And like, how do you look at it a little bit differently and say, oh, wait a second, but what if I can? And what does that look like if it's different? And then you start putting the actions in place, you know?
I think the sentence that I use to help me, I say, life don't happen to me, it happened for me. You know, like basically, once I understood that right there, that's like like the mental shift. Like, it's not happening to me. Like, life is not happening like to me. Like, everybody, the first thing, the first time something go wrong, somebody be like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Like, why is this happening? Like, why, God? Like, why is me? Why did you do this to me? Like as if he picking and choosing. Like, everybody's having to go through this right here. You know, like, he wake up and say, hey, today I want to bring pain on you, you know? But, like, I know that it don't work that way. So I said, damn, it's all... You know, these are challenges. These are my obstacles. You know, these are my moments for me to like reveal, you know, like exactly what it is. Like, when things come now, like people say, then I realized business is all about turning problems into profit. So I was like, damn, like, this is how you get paid, actually, if you can actually find out. So then it became more like a jigsaw puzzle more than it was me feeling like, damn, this is failure. And then that's kind of like how I was able to like transition like from thinking like that into like looking like that, because now I don't see no failure. Even when I do business, people be like, all right, well, think about before you make a decision, think about the positive and the negative. I say I got positive and protective. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm only thinking about like the positive or the way to protect myself. Not gonna be nothing negative in this situation for me, you know, like, so that's kind of like those two little things that like just make you alternate the like looking at things and make it feel more positive vibe.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that. I'm just going to hit it back again. You said you've got positive and you've got protective. And I just think that's, again, I talk a lot about our toolboxes, because as we're growing, as we're evolving, going through all these experiences, we're just learning, right?
Yep.
It's information. And what do we do with it? Well, a lot of times I'm stowing it in your toolbox and I'm pulling stuff out constantly, because just like you said, you have to have these little reminders to yourself. And again, I'm pausing on this for the audience, because when we're talking about how do you do these things, it's not magic, but there are tools that we have to use. Even people who are more experienced at being resilient, more experienced at having these type of conversations, we have to like coach ourselves and turn to others for inspiration and, you know, your coaching or whatever degree of coaching that is, you know. And that might be like your feed, Jacob, your feed, Xavier, like, you know, I get a lot from that, and coming together and having these type of conversations helps us all grow.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. So Jake, in what you're doing now, talk just a little bit about this. You kind of mentioned it at the beginning. You're like, oh yeah, I just have this little brand. You didn't say little brand, but Barlow, it's a big deal. You know, you've got this brand, you took it to the next level when you got it into REI. So talk to us about what's been that process been like, and, you know, and how are you making that happen?
Yeah. So Barlow, when we started, we had an idea of what type of brand we wanted to be, right? What type of messaging we wanted to have, what type of impact we wanted to create. And we really saw REI as another company that was doing that on a much larger scale, right? And we just wanted to be a small part of that, right? And we became a part of the Navigate program, where we actually learned from some of their executives. We learn from some of their nonprofit sector in order to understand how to merchandise, how to ship and fulfill in a different platform, right? But we also said, hey, we really, really see in the landscape growth in this area for gravel, gravel bike cycling. Do you guys see that too? And is there a way we can collaborate? We came up with several different types of items for men and women. We pitched it to them, and here we are. And we're going to be in six of their flagship stores. Uh-huh. We are already online for REI, and we're continuing, still learning, right? We're continuing to grow. We just had a big ride partnership with REI last week in Laguna, called a Laguna Ride, where one of their stores partnered with us. We had an expo at their store. We brought more people to their store to help them sell more bikes and for them to help us sell more apparel. And it was a great event. And it's something we're continuing to grow and continuing to build. And we're very excited for 2024.
Yeah. It's so, I'm glad that you went there and you talked about it. Because again, as people are listening to this, Jake has done a lot of things in his career. But he's, you know, he is a further on in his career. But he's still sat here and said, I'm learning.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I loved when you described, you basically gave your rendition of what X did with the, you know, when he went and put himself in that position with, you know, that valet service.
Yeah.
You and your team put yourself in position to go learn the elements that you didn't know about merchandising and those type of things. So folks, if you're listening to this, you don't have to have all the answers.
No.
I actually have a mentor who I just love her to death, Felicia Hall Allen, who says to me, and she says to people in general, like, what you need to know and who you need to know are really already around you. It's just a matter of needing to get to them and tap into them and be willing to listen and learn and grow.
Again,
like, you did that. All of us have talked about doing that. That's part of how you get to the next level.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
I actually looked like you were going to lean in and say something.
Oh, no, I was just like, I was just looking at the aesthetics and vibing. Listening.
Oh, no. So I just, you know, thank you guys both so much for coming on. I'm so glad that you both got to know each other, and you can see why I really wanted to have you both on having this conversation. For the audience, I hope you're able to take things away that really help you, you know, see that I say we tend to suffer similarly, but we can also learn from each other and really help each other get to next level. So Jake, you can follow Jake on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. It's Fail Forward, correct?
Yeah, Fail Forward. YouTube as well. I started my podcast last month. I have two episodes right now. You can follow me on my YouTube podcast. You can just look for me, Jacob Brown Speaker, or if Jacob Brown Podcast, you should be able to find it.
Nice, nice. Okay. And good luck with your book launch. We'll be excited to bring that to our audience. So, X, any parting words?
Oh, no. I just appreciate him for being on and definitely sharing that knowledge for everybody. So yeah, like definitely like Shauna said, happy to support when everything come out and like, you know, helping you get a little more push.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to supporting you as well.
All right. Everybody have a great day. Thanks so much. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Hey, last time, Shauna, I ended it. Remember on that? I didn't even know you could stay on.
I know. I was like, bye.
That's funny.
No, listen to this. First of all, that was...